Good evening.
Good evening.
Before we get started, Don has requested prayers for his sister, Francine Thompson. She's got cataracts, and the optometrist is finding some trouble, some complications with that, and is sending her to an ophthalmologist and a retina specialist to figure out how to best proceed with that. So he's requested prayers for her. Many of you know Francine. She's been out here before. I think she watches just about every week here. But let's go to her. And if you're watching, Francine, we're going to God with you on behalf of your eyes right now. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thankful that you hear us. Thank you for being our God. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. Dear God, we take a special moment right now to come to you on behalf of Francine. We ask that you be with her doctors to figure out exactly what's wrong with her eyes and how to best proceed. We thank you that we have such great medical care in this day and time here in the United States. And we hope that you be with the doctors, be with Francine, comfort her, comfort Don as he is concerned for her. Dear God, be with us the rest of this worship service to you. We hope everything that is done pleasing to you and done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to continue tonight with a look at Samuel. We will mostly be in 1 Samuel today, chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10, if you wanted to look up some of the verses and so forth. Last week, and this is not an in-depth study of the book of 1 Samuel. This is more of anything kind of a character study of the man Samuel. I really enjoy looking at the lives and the dilemmas that godly people go through and how godly people before me go through things. It's they've blazed the trail long before, and a lot of the things that people in the Old Testament, people in the New Testament, they're really no different than us. They may live in a different time, a different era, but as people, it's timeless. And so I'd like for us to continue looking into the life of Samuel. Turn this on. In chapter 3, it says, or chapter 7 in verse 3, it says, "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." He understood what they needed to do. He is proclaiming to them. They had strayed. He wasn't shy about pointing out their shortcomings. A lot of people, you know, I've heard a lot of people point out, "Oh, Christians are so mean-spirited, always pointing bad things out." Now, some people are mean-spirited. But by the way you go about something, you can definitely turn somebody off and shut the door by the way you deliver it to them. But I tell you, ignoring things would be just as bad for them. And Samuel was never shy about proclaiming the word of God, what people needed to do, where they were incorrect, and he told them. And he put some conditions on them. He doesn't say, oh, just, you know, God's a God of love. He'll overlook you, you know, and the things you do. He says, if you return, you've strayed. You've strayed from God. If you return to the Lord with all your hearts. He's putting conditions on that, and he's defining it. There's nothing halfway about this. Then put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you. Just returning to God is not enough. It's got to be with all your heart, and you've got to show repentance. You can't keep doing, you can't keep having one foot following God and the other foot straddling the fence, trying to live the way you've been doing. You can't be in the world and be a follower of God also. And that's what he's telling them. And then he says, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only. You can't serve two gods. And he tells him, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Isn't it interesting how just a study of the history of the Israelites, just this roller coaster, you know, up and down, one time, you know, they're following him good, and then they're swinging the other way. And he says you can't do that. You have to serve him only. And it seems like when the Philistines came and they're scared, now they want to turn to him. Now they're seeking God for protection. You know, how many times do we do that? You know, we don't want God until we really need something. Haven't prayed to God for who knows how long, and then all of a sudden, oh God, give me this. Get me out of this jam that I've gotten myself in. And then we get out of that jam. Oh, things are going okay again, and you're going right back to that same old thing. And Samuel's talking about this. He's addressing this. And in verse 4, he says, the results of that, so the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherahs and served the Lord only. They did repent. They repented. They're going to fall away again. But they did repent. You ever catch yourself doing that? You repent to God for something, and then it's not too long later, you're stumbling right in it again. This is human nature. In Luke 13, Jesus told followers of that, he says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The message is the same whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, 2022. The message is the same in the Bible. The circumstances may be different. The names have been changed to protect the innocent, as they'd say on Dragnet. In 2 Corinthians, Paul was telling the Corinthians, we'd made the comment the other day about how the letter to the Corinthians in his first letter was really a spanking. I mean, he, kind of like Samuel, he pulled no punches when it came to pointing out their sin and what they needed to do. Now the ball's in your court. 2 Corinthians, we kind of see the results. And in chapter 7, verse 9, Paul writes, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. There is a big difference between the sorrow of the world and a religious, godly sorrow. That difference between sorry that you were caught and sorry that you did it in the first place. Whatever it was. A lot of times we're sorry that we get caught. Prisons are full of those people. full of people that they were sorry they got caught instead of sorry you did it. But Paul uses a phrase here that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. And I got thinking about that. What is this? What is it you'd be suffering loss from and of? And in a lot of ways, you'd suffer loss if you didn't change of salvation. If you don't change, like Jesus said, if you don't repent, you will likewise perish. So there's the loss of salvation you could suffer from us because they were teaching them the truth. There's the loss of their reputation. Could you imagine being close to those people and then you don't change and what Paul will think of you? You don't want him to continue to think of you like he did in the first letter. You would disappoint him. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where one of the worst parts about doing something wrong is the disappointment you bring to some people. That they thought better of you. It's like a dagger in your heart. And the suffering, the loss of reputation in Paul's eyes. And then the fellowship. Do you really think Paul's going to continue fellowshipping with them if they continued? That's the same message in a lot of ways of what Samuel was saying. They were made sorry and they did repent. They tore down those idols that were just like everybody else around them, all the different nations around them. They made themselves unique again and served only God, at least for a while. Back in Samuel, in verse 8, it says, "So the children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines.'" They thought the world of Samuel. They understand Samuel is much more of a man of God than we are. They wanted him to please continue offering up prayers to God on our behalf so we don't get wiped out by the Philistines. In verses 9 and 13 it says, "And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him." I love this. Samuel spent a lot of time in prayer. If you read 1 Samuel, you see that he spends a lot of time in prayer on behalf of the Israelites. Not so much of it for himself. He's praying for the salvation and the maturity and the saving of others. And it says, "And the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel." God made thunder. Don't you know he can deliver a pretty good blast if he wanted to? My son and I were hiking one day, and a crack of lightning struck about from here to across the street from us. It sounded like you shot a 38 off in our ear. It was so loud. Literally, we're like, is it going to hit us? That's what I picture with this, that the thunder was so loud. And it says it so confused them. That's how loud the thunder from God was. And they were overcome before Israel in battle. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Samuel gave them a lesson, not only that moment, but for later on to remember. To remember what was done for them, that the Lord thus far has helped us. And he sets up this stone, and not only do they remember, but picture years later, people would see a stone like this. "Hey, Dad, what's this?" Let me tell you. And that's why it's important for us to teach our kids. Mm-hmm. They're not just going to figure it out on their own. Amen. And how many Ebenezers have there been in our lives that God has been with us thus far? We could write a book individually, each one of us, how God has been with us. And God has given us a book recording a lot of the things that He has done for His people. Mm-hmm. That we can look back and not only memorialize, but remember. And it just drives that point home that God is with us and has done so much for us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Amen. In verse 15 it says, "And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life." That stood out to me. Oh, I'm getting a little too old. No. He did all the days of his life. He didn't, I'll leave it up to the young whippersnappers. I tell you, I never thought of myself as getting older until I look in the mirror. But the few that are older than me, I want you to know, it's inspiring to me that you're still serving God. Mm-hmm. You're still doing it. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Didn't take some time off, didn't take a sabbatical, didn't take a leave of absence. "I need a vacation." All the days of his life. Are we any better that we can't do that? Those are some of the things, you know, when I read that verse, that it literally just jumped out at me. He served God his whole life from a child. We covered that last week. From a child on, he served God. In chapter 8, starting verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. That's a sad story. That's a sad account of Samuel's family. To have a man such as Samuel as your father, showing you the examples, but you not follow them. But then, if you remember, last time we studied this earlier in the book, Samuel had been trained and mentored by Eli. Eli's sons did the same thing. Eli were worthless. So, you know, his sons were worthless. Samuel was mentored in many of the same ways and kind of followed suit in a lot of ways. But it's sad that a man such as Samuel, that his sons weren't just stellar. But I tell you, isn't that life? And it takes a lot of effort. But they turned aside after dishonest gain. They took bribes and they perverted justice, even though Samuel didn't. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Some months ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, but we had a Sunday morning lesson, "Give us a king." Give us a king. And they wanted a king. They did not want to trust in Samuel's sons to lead them when he was old. But give us a king so we can be like everybody else around us. They're already starting to get that other foot back into the world. After they'd sworn off doing that stuff, they're going right back. We want to be like everybody else, like the nations around us. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord for them. Verse 7, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" They want this from you? Go ahead and give it to them. Go ahead and give it to them, because they're not seeking after me. And Samuel, don't you worry about it. It's not you they're rejecting. They're rejecting me. Mm-hmm. So you go ahead. You give them what they wanted. And we'll see. What was it Dr. Phil says? See how that works out for you. Mm-hmm. Give them a king. "According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also." God doesn't forget. He's kind of saying, give him an "I told you so." I remember those things. I have served you and benefited you ever since I took you out of Egypt. And you've done this, this, this. God didn't forget. God warned them about what he told Samuel. You tell them what's going to happen. Tell them ahead of time that this king will take their sons and their daughters to be soldiers and laborers. That the king will take their lands, their fields, their livestock, everything. And they will cry, you will cry out because of it. You wanted this, and then you're going to come crying to me because of it. And God will not hear them. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. They wanted a king that they could ride a white horse into battle. They've just seen the hand of God protecting and leading them into battle. And they would rather have a man. It's just, you know, how childish do they have to be? God just demonstrated to them, I will lead you in battle, and defeated the Philistines. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. And in chapter 9, Saul was selected to be their king, and Samuel would anoint him. And in chapter 10, it says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Even though it was wrong, the Lord selected him. You wanted him, the Lord selected him. And he was anointed by Samuel. We're going to pick up, good place to stop. We're going to pick up there with some of the things after this. We're going to see some of the problems that Samuel will have to deal with now that they have a king. And then after Saul, there will be David. And how Samuel will deal with David, etc., etc. If you want to read ahead, go ahead and maybe read into 1 Samuel and see some of the things coming up. If you need to respond to the invitation, I think everybody in here of age is baptized. If there's sin in your life, if there are issues where you need prayers, like Don requested prayers for his sister earlier. If there's anything we can do for you as your brothers and sisters, please let your needs be known while Daryl leads us in the invitation.